hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, music, and the word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be good.
Good evening to everyone. We thank God for another Saturday. It's always a pleasure to come your way, and it's always good to be reminding ourselves of the times we live in and how it's so important we depend on God. You know, the same God who has seen us through various ups and downs from our childhood through the years is the same God that we can still hold on to and call on to. You know, people are despaired, people are worried, people are depressed. Anxiety is running high. I mean, I see pictures and videos of mates and passengers fighting over 20 pesos. All sorts of things are happening. You know, but when you see these things, it sends a message that people are really worried. People are just confused. So the slightest thing you say to someone can trigger, I mean, a whole issue, because people are just confused. They don't know what to eat the next day. They don't know what to give to their children to go to school. All sorts of worries and all due to the system and the times we are in. But as believers, should we also throw our hands in despair as if we are orphans with no hope anywhere? Is there a God we can call on? Is there a God we can trust in these turbulent and uncertain times? Indeed, yes. There is a God we can call on and we can trust. Eben, I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. First, let me start with this beautiful old song by the Maranatha Singers. And I believe it's going to give you some inspiration for the night.
Your prayer for deliverance will not be
welcome back to Spirit FM, and this is Eben. Spirit Issues is the program, and Spirit Issues of Life. You can get our recordings on spiritissues.info, and indeed, we have some assurance in the Word of God, Matthew 28, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded, and I have commanded you, and lo, the emphasis on the B part, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Matthew 28:20. It's either two things. Either this verse is true, or this verse is not true. And so far as I believe, and I believe listeners of this program and this station believe the Word of God is true, then let's hold on to this true word. Let's be encouraged by this word. You know, there's one encouragement I want you to take note of. Let's get back into the Bible, identify the promises of the Word of God, or promises in the Word of God, and start holding on to these things. You know, oftentimes we are more concerned about what we are hearing, what's happening in the world, and what we are seeing, and all. And we run around complaining and forget that we also have a solution in the Word of God. And I believe it's important we get back to these things, the Word of God. That is our foundation as believers. All right, so let's get into some news of events happening in the week. And from there, we get back into the Word of God again. So we start with, you know, a lot is happening these days. Sometimes you don't know what to pick in the news, what to leave, and all that. I just managed to pick some, and then we just glance through some of them as well quickly. For the earthquakes, it's happening. A lot is happening. You know, today alone, for the last 24 hours, if you check the usgenius.gov, as at the time I checked before coming to the studio, 56 earthquakes above the magnitude of 2.5 in just the last 24 hours. A lot is happening. So many things happening in the world at the same time. As believers, we just have to put our house in order and be more serious with serving our Lord. Then we have North Korea fired ballistic missile that landed near South Korea. And you know, it looks like now he's really looking for a lot of attention, North Korea. He's been firing so many missiles in the last few weeks and months that the world is worried in terms of the world leaders. So this was Thursday. Then yesterday, Friday, he fires another one. And this one, he called it a new kind of intercontinental ballistic missile. So this report says North Korea said that it conducted a test firing of a new kind of intercontinental ballistic missile, ICBM, on Friday, according to the government-run KCNA news agency. Japan warned on earlier on Friday that the missile had the potential range to reach the U.S. mainland. North Korea is continuing to carry out provocative actions at frequency never seen before. And that's one of the worries I was talking about. And Kishida told reporters, that's the Japanese rep, told reporters Friday at the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, that's APEC, meeting in Bangkok, Thailand, quote, "I want to restate that we cannot accept such actions," unquote. The Japanese government will continue to collect and analyze information and provide prompt updates to public, he said. So far, there have been no reports of damage to vessels at sea. After guiding the launch of the ICBM on Friday, Kim, that's the North Korean president, said that North Korea should, quote, "clearly demonstrate their strongest will to retaliate the hysteric aggression war drills by the enemies seeking to destroy peace and stability in the Korean Peninsula and the region," unquote, referring to the U.S. and South Korea. He also warned that his country will take a more offensive counteraction if the U.S. make a military bluffing in the Korean Peninsula and its surrounding area, according to KCNA. Kim Jong-un solemnly declared that if the enemies continue to pose threats to the DP, the Democratic Republic of Korea, frequently introducing nuclear strike means, our party and government will resolutely react to nukes with nuclear weapons and to total confrontation with all-out confrontation. Wow. And according to the Korean Joint Chiefs of Staff, the ICBM traveled at 22 times the speed of light. Whoa. That means it was really, really fast. Okay. Now to the U.S., where there's this bill that has been pushed to the Senate. The target is going to be Christians. Christians. So the Senate advances a bill to protect same-sex marriages. Let me go through some part of it. A bill supported by President Biden that would legalize same-sex marriage nationwide, threaten Christians who object to participating in LGBT ceremonies, and creates a bonanza for trial lawyers to sue believers in natural marriage, cleared a key Senate hurdle on Wednesday afternoon with the assistance of 12 Republicans. That's quite worrying. H.R. 8404 labeled the Respect for Marriage Act by supporters and the Disrespect for Marriage Act by critics needed at least 60 votes to overcome a potential filibuster. It passed a vote of 62 to 37. The 450 states to recognize any marriage legally allowed in any other state and formally repeal the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act. It would also create a private right of action, allowing anyone who feels discriminated against to sue any individual or business who refuses to participate in such a ceremony, even if motivated by faith-based objections. Let me pause. What this bill would really, really be doing, that's as I'm sitting here, if I'm the U.S., and someone brings me invitation to a gay LGBT wedding, and I say, I can't come. The person knows that if you give this thing to Eben, he won't come. But because he wants to put you in trouble, he will openly bring you a card, invitation, and now, if you object to it that you can't come, he can see you that you are discriminating, you are homophobic. That's what this bill is going to do. It's serious. If you come to your church, okay, this building is nice, this church is nice, we want to go and do a LGBT wedding there, and they bring their invitation, their proposal, and you, the pastor, you say that we don't believe in this, woe unto you. They can take you on by this bill when it's passed fully or finally. So it's like they can use it to target any believer they just want to worry. And this makes it very serious because already they've been number, if you've listened to this program for some years, I've been talking about cases, flower decoration companies or businesses that have been taken to court for refusing to do things or wedding cakes or whatever for these LGBT weddings or ceremonies, and they are taken on to court, being sued for discrimination, homophobic, all sorts of words that they use. And some of these cases drag and drag on. I think there's one even pending towards the Supreme Court in the U.S. and all. But then with this new, bill that the Senate will codify, so it's like they say codify the LGBT weddings or whatever, marriages. Now it's open season, free for all. They can just intentionally come. We want to use your hall for our wedding. If you say no, they can see you because you are saying no because the wedding is LGBT. And they will time and have evidence. Last week you allowed the wedding, which was a normal wedding, man and woman. But because as it's man and man or woman, you say no. Okay, we are seeing you. And see, they are going to use this to really bankrupt businesses because they will win because it's a law. So eventually, once it goes to court, you are going to lose. Mostly, That's what's so really people are worried. Pastors are worried because this bill is a big issue. You know, these people are too evil. The bill enshrines the government's picking winners and losers on the basis of who adheres to a particular favored religious orthodoxy, and punishing those that don't adhere to that. Senator Mike Lee, Republican Utah, told Washington Watch on Wednesday, its provisions are likely to culminate in the removal of tax-exempt status from religious institutions that uphold traditional sexual morality. When the will of the secular society becomes hostile to religious pluralism, to the acceptance of religious minority beliefs, everyone suffers as a result. Goes on and on. You know, the law cannot be neutral on marriage. It can either affirm truth or portray distortions. The foundational truth will always remain. Yes, I agree. And no act of Congress can change that, Roy wrote to the Senate. Those who see and know the truth have a moral duty to stand firm in its defense and to defend the crucial institution of marriage. And marriage, as it was started in the Word of God in the Garden of Eden, God puts two adults together, male and female. That has been the standard, and it has never changed, and it will never change. People can change whatever they want to do and define, redefine marriage to suit their whatever, but it still stands. The traditional one will still stand. And it's just a difficult time for, it's going to be a difficult time for the Christians. The persecution is really, really going to be stepped up because of this bill. And, well, more grace to the American Christians who choose to stand. Okay, so that one done. Now let's get into Disney. Disney is in the news again. Disney continues LGBTQ agenda with gay teen romance in major new animation. You know, if you're a listener of this program, parents, and still you allow your children to watch Disney and all those channels that are showing those things, you are harming your children. You are setting them on the path of destruction. That's the truth. Because these things have been designed purposely to destroy the children. So if you just give them unlimited access to these things to watch, yes, you would not have the intention of allowing them to watch it directly. But giving them unlimited access to these channels means they can be exposed to it on the blind side of you, the parents. And that's where the danger lies. So, we have Disney's next animated motion picture release titled Strange World will mark a first for the company founded by Walt Disney in 1923. It will feature a gay teen romance. Produced by Walt Disney Animation Studios, the adventure film introduces a legendary family of explorers, the Clads, as they attempt to navigate an uncharted, treacherous land alongside a motley crew that includes a mischievous blob, a three-legged dog, and a slew of ravenous creatures, according to Strange World website. The movie opens in theaters on November 23rd. That's next week. To promote the upcoming film, Disney screened three separate segments of the movie at 2022 Annecy International Animation Film Festival in Annecy, France, last June. In the first segment shown to the film festival audience, the character of Ethan, voiced by actor Jaku Young White, flirts with another boy named Diazo in front of his friends, teasing him in a friendly way and warm-hearted way in a scene described by Variety at the time. Then Ethan's father joins in but embarrasses his son with an over-eager show of acceptance, the outlet noted. The cast of actors voicing the characters for the film includes, and they listed a number of there are celebrities there. Conservative commentator Ben Shapiro is warning parents prior to the film's release date about Disney's ongoing push at their not-at-all-secret gay agenda to target children. In a tweet Tuesday, Shapiro wrote, quote, "As Disney begins pushing Strange World for next week's release, here is the reminder that their not-at-all-secret gay agenda to target kids is ongoing. It's a part of the plot of this movie, just as it was with Lightyear. Your kids, your choice." Yes, and that's the truth. Okay, so we go to the infamous war, the Russia-Ukraine war, where Russia fires dummy nuke at Kiev. Experts fear it was Putin's final warning before nuclear war. And Russia has fired a cruise missile with a mock nuclear warhead at Ukraine. According to reports, it's claimed Ukrainian forces uncovered the dummy warhead after at least four kamikaze drones and two cruise missiles were shot down by Kiev's air defenses on Thursday. One of the two missiles launched by Moscow was Soviet Kh-55 missile with a fake nuclear warhead, the Strategic Communications Center of the Armed Forces of Ukraine said, quoting a Defense Express report. It is claimed an empty block was screwed onto the missile to imitate a nuclear warhead before it was fired at Ukraine. Oh, wow. And according to experts, it could be a message to the West about possible nuclear escalation of the war, or a sign Moscow is struggling with its missile supply and instead is trying to overload the Ukraine's air system by launching projectiles, even if they do not explode. I see. Then this week there was a big one that could have turned this whole war into something else. A stray missile landed in Poland, killing two, and the missile was supposed to be a Russian missile. It was a Russian missile. So now the big question was, who fired it? Was it green by mistake, resisting something, or Russia fired and by mistake landed in Poland? And it really shook the system because Poland is a NATO country, and NATO, by their constitution in Article 4 and 5, when one member is attacked, all the others are enjoined to defend their member. So the question was NATO going to invoke Article 4 and 5? After the US and the West and all analyzed this, so that no, technically it wasn't from Russia directly. So it calmed nerves now. But the question is, what it was directly? Will they be defending Poland, which automatically makes it a Third World War situation? Well, we just hope we never get to that point. Yeah. Okay, so I'm almost done. Last two items, I believe. Okay. Is it two or three? Okay, almost done anyway. So, you know, they did the G20 summit in Indonesia recently. And the summit promotes international digital vaccine passports for, quote, future pandemics. Unquote, future pandemics. I've told you on this program earlier, one of those editions, that this whole COVID thing is just a test case. You know, they are testing the mic, 1, 2, 3, for the future deal. The real thing is ahead, not this COVID. So everything was done as a test case, you know, and all that followed, the COVID itself, or whatever that followed. It's all a test case, how to control people. And this one is a clear manifestation. They said it themselves. In another step towards the creation of a new global order, world leaders at this year's G20 summit are throwing their support behind the adoption of an internationally recognized digital vaccine passport system to facilitate seamless movement during future pandemics. Underline, future pandemics. We acknowledge the importance of shared technical standards and verification methods under the framework of the IHR, International Health Regulations 2005, to facilitate seamless international travel, interoperability, and recognizing digital solutions and non-digital solutions, including proof of vaccinations, reads the G20 Bali Leaders Declaration released yesterday. We support continued international dialogue and collaboration on the establishment of trusted global digital health networks as part of the efforts to strengthen prevention and response to future pandemics that should capitalize and build on the success of existing standards and digital COVID-19 certificates, the declaration adds. In the next section of the declaration, the G20 leaders, who include Canada's Justin Trudeau, America's Joe Biden, Chinese Xi, and then, you know, the UK and over a dozen others, explain how the C-19 pandemic has accelerated the transformation of the digital system and digital economy. Mm-hmm. And that they recognize the importance of digital transformation in reaching the SDGs, that's the UN Sustainable Development Goals. The G20 so-called declaration seems to mirror the recommendations made during the B20, that's the more private sector-oriented counterpart to the G20 earlier this week. In a now viral video from the B20 summit, Indonesian Health Minister Budi Satkin outlined how his proposed international apparatus will function, whether it be the G20, the B20, the UN's SDGs, or the World Economic Forum's Great Reset Agenda. There seems to be a concerted effort by global elites to usher in a new world order, primarily by using advances in technology to create an international universal form of centralized governance. In fact, many of these leaders, such as Trudeau, have links to all the aforementioned groups and initiatives, and many of the groups and initiatives deploy the same working and policy prescriptions as one another. For example, while the recent G20 declaration states that the COVID-19 pandemic has accelerated the transformation of the digital ecosystem and digital economy, the World Economic Forum's Great Reset likewise says COVID-19 crisis and the political, economic, and social disruptions it has caused is fundamentally changing the traditional context for decision-making. Even Trudeau has used similar language, saying the pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset. This is our chance to accelerate our pre-pandemic efforts to reimagine economic systems that actually address global challenges like extreme poverty, inequality, and climate change. In terms of policy ideas, nearly all the groups and initiatives focus on digitization efforts, including but not limited to central bank digital currencies. A few months ago, I talked about the central bank digital currencies. I played a file or so about it as to how even our Bank of Ghana has also signed up to the central bank digital currencies. And eventually, they are going to ditch the fiat cash as we know it. Interesting times. Very, very interesting times. Digital identification and digital health information, so-called climate change goals, which often includes the administration of abortion and contraceptives as a means of population control, as well as a restructuring of the capitalist system. Under the guise of equality, many of the initiatives and groups also seek to undermine the traditional Christian family structure, and that is where the LGBT thing comes in. With the WEF's, or World Economic Forum's, Great Reset, in particular, listing LGBTI inclusion as a key theme. In talking about these global efforts, particularly in the financial industry, one former banking analyst told LifeSite News that in essence, their end goal is a top-down, hyper-centralized method of operation that functions exactly opposite of principle of subsidiarity, which teaches that a community of a higher order should not interfere in the eternal life and community of a lower order. Well, it didn't end there. The COP is also happening. But first, okay, let me finish with Macron's own, since it was part of that same meeting, or part of the G20. Then I go to the final one, where enough leaders are coming up with their own 10 commandments. interesting time. So, President Emmanuel Macron, France's president, says we need a single global order. And let me rephrase it. When they say global order, it's the same as new world order. So world, global. They just interchange, or sometimes they use international order. So when you see international order, global order, world order, it's the same thing. They're just playing with semantics, the same thing, the same new world order. And if you see the Great Reset, it's the same thing. You know, that's what they do. So we need a new single global order, says Macron at the APC or APEC summit. I think I have his voice. Let me play the short one. Let's see. Okay, this one, he spoke English, not French, so that we can all hear it.
We are in a jungle and we have two big elephants trying to become more and more nervous. If they become very nervous and start war, it will be a big problem for the rest of the jungle. You need cooperation of a lot of other animals. Tigers, monkeys, and so on. Are you on the US or the Chinese side? Because now, progressively, a lot of people would like to see there are two orders in this world. This is a huge mistake, even for both the US and China. We need a single global order. We are in a jungle and we have two big elephants trying to become more and more nervous. If they become very nervous and start war, it will be a big problem for the rest of the jungle. You need cooperation of a lot of other animals. Tigers, monkeys, and so on. Are you on the US or the Chinese side? Because now, progressively, a lot of people would like to see there are two orders in this world. This is a huge mistake, even for both the US and China. We need a single global order.
We need a single global order. Okay, so that's Macron for you. You know, this order agenda, they've been pushing it for some years now, but now they've taken it to another level. Right from the onset of COVID, they've accelerated their agenda, they've accelerated their moves to establish this globalization plan. A lot of things happening now. Virtually all the big things happening in the world now is all geared towards achieving that order. So they have a saying that you don't let an opportunity in a chaotic situation like the world is now go waste. So you take advantage of a situation. So like COVID came, they took advantage of it. The world economy is beginning to crash, and experts are all pointing to the fact that 2023 is going to recession. This week, yesterday, I heard the UK is in recession already. Some even believe the US is in recession already, but you know, they are trying to deny political reasons. They are trying to deny, but catch up anyway. I mean, the economy is there. No matter what, the truth will come out. So as the world economy begins to go down, and all that, it becomes a perfect opportunity to also bring the agenda. And ultimately, it's more to do with the digitization, the turning out of the digital currencies, then eventually merging it with a form of crypto concept type of thing and all. So, you see, this whole digitization thing, the central bank, when I explained to you that time when I talked about it, it becomes easier to control and monitor people. So systems, various countries are putting systems, connecting systems, linking. So in Ghana, we see it happening in real time. I mean, you know, linking your Ghana card to your bank account, linking your Ghana card to your Momo, linking. So eventually, this whole thing is interlinked to the point where if you just turn off the system in one way or the other, you can take someone off the system. If someone wants to be punished, or like someone decides to punish you for not conforming to the system, and they just deactivate your SIM card easily, or deactivate your Ghana card, suspend it, it links to your bank account, links to your phone, it links to everything. That means you can't use all those things. That's the ultimate plan, where this thing is headed eventually. Control, power and control. So they say sleep at 10 o'clock, everybody sleep. If you say you will not sleep, okay, we'll see what you do. Then your account is disabled, and that's it. You are off the system. You can't connect, you can't do anything. You know, it's happening. They are testing the social system in China, where people are giving grades, performance, so you can, they can block you from taking public transport. They can block you from traveling. You see, that's how the system works. Control. Controlling people. So this thing that we hear, the new world order, the Great Reset. Yes, from the Christian perspective, the ultimate thing this thing is headed towards is the Antichrist system. That's the bottom line. That's all that they are pushing. And that's what they are working on extensively. All right, so let's get into the COP27 that happened in Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt. And I think they were supposed to finish yesterday or something. Okay, interesting headline. Interfaith leaders at COP27 unveil 10 principles of climate repentance and call humanity to action. Some are calling it the Climate Change 10 Commandments. Well, you get to know why some are saying, calling it the 10 Commandments. Climate change, many say, is a very delicate issue and more of the sciences and not of a religious or spiritual venture. But the ongoing climate change conference is seeing religious and interfaith leaders pushing what they consider substantial tools to help the world deal with the global impact of climate change. The group is under the banner Interfaith Center for Sustainable Development. The interfaith reveals the connection between religion and ecology, and it mobilizes people to act. Earlier this week, on the top of memorialized mountain, Mount Sinai. Sunday school children who went to Sunday school and are adults now remember Mount Sinai. Religious leaders met and declared the 10 principles of climate repentance. It's also known as the prophetic call for climate justice. When you're serious. Mount Sinai is an important religious pilgrimage site where the prophet Moses is said to have received the 10 commandments directly from God. The mountain attracts hundreds of people from around the world and has become a major tourist site in Egypt. Mount Sinai is a mountain memory and meaning looms largely as a place of revelation in the collective consciousness of Christianity, Judaism, Islam, and other religions. The 10 principles of climate change religious leaders are calling for a re-examination of the deep-seated attitudes in identifying ways to transform people's attitudes towards the well-being of Earth, mankind's common home. The ecological crisis is a spiritual crisis of how we deal with the spiritual beings, and the question is, when will religion, the sleeping giant, wake up to address the ecological crisis? So, they were trying to do what Moses did in the name of climate change. One day I'll make an addition and talk about this climate change they've been talking about, and you get to know the real agenda behind it. It's all about control. It all fits into the Antichrist agenda. They are working seriously under the New World Order. You know, it looks like a good thing, but then when you get to know the real agenda behind it, you realize this before. All right, so this is Issues of Life. I'm Eben, and I think I have 14 minutes, I believe. But let's just take this song briefly and finish off with a few things.
Your cry for mercy echoes my name. Now and forever, I'll be at hand. I will be with you, I will be with you, for that's who I am. I will be with you. I'll be on your side. Your prayer for deliverance will not be denied. I'll fight the battle that evil might wage. Oh, I will be with you. I will be with you till the end of the age.
Welcome back to Issues of Life. I'm Eben, and in the final minutes, let's just get into the Word of God and encourage ourselves. You know, there's one aspect to the times we are in. Let me just read briefly John 16, because of time, quickly. How be it when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and he will show you things to come. Emphasis. He will show you things to come. You know, in other words, the Holy Spirit is going to guide us. He's going to show us advanced information, spiritual intelligence, knowing what the ordinary people does not know, telling us what the ordinary people is not aware of, that his children can be better suited for wisdom in the times we are in. And the Holy Spirit has been doing that. God has been speaking to the church in various ways, the prophets, the seers, and all the dreamers, the vision seers, all that. He's speaking in various ways. In all this, it's meant to let us know where we are in terms of the timelines, his timings, what he's allowing to happen in the world, so that we can be better prepared to know how to pray. I'm coming from this angle because, you know, we have to first recognize that we are spirit beings in a physical realm. Unfortunately, we become more conscious of the physical realm because that's what we see. We hear, we taste, you know, that's more visible to us. So we are unconsciously used to that as the standard, as rather the main thing, as we are human beings, yes, black, white, yellow, whatever, short, tall, fat, whatever. Unconsciously, we've become so used to this that we forget sometimes that we are spirit beings. And it's rather the spiritual realm that supersedes the physical realm. So before something happened physically, it has happened in the spirit realm before it will follow in the physical realm. Let me give a few examples where I believe you've heard of instances, or maybe some of you might have even experienced it yourself, where in a dream, somebody will say that he got shot in a dream. Now he wakes up in the morning, and the place where he got shot in the dream, there is a physical sore or growth medical condition there. By the time the person was going to sleep, there was nothing there. But when it happened in the spirit realm, that's in the dream state, it manifested physically. It happens, for those on my WhatsApp broadcast list, I shared this case of a friend's mother who dreamt that three men had pushed her to the ground and poured something, a black substance, into her mouth. But so when she woke up in the morning and told the children, they were not so spiritually serious about, you know, stuff. So they just brushed it off. That type of thing, and then nothing. 3 days exactly, their mother died. So when this friend of mine was telling me, we're chatting, this is years, I went to the funeral and all that, but we became closer afterwards and all. So we were chatting not long ago, and then she brought up this issue that, so if she had been a more serious Christian, then she would have known how to deal with that issue. See, so the dream state was the spiritual state. So that when the people pushed her on the ground and poured whatever poison into her mouth, in the spiritual realm, it has been initiated, it has started. But it happened 3 days' time. So between the spirit time when it happened till it manifested physically, there could have been an intervention. But because they didn't have the wisdom to know what to do, nothing happened and it manifested physically. So when we see the signs of the times and all these things, before it will happen physically, it has started in the spiritual realm. So that's where God shows the prophets, gives the warnings to the children in dreams. The prophets will give their warnings. That means it has started in the spiritual realm. So it's just a matter of time before it unfolds in the physical realm. So in as much as the spirit realm is where the things are initiated, we believers should not be ignorant of the fact that we are spirit beings. So if whatever is happening in the physical realm has been initiated in the spiritual realm, then if we are also going to need any physical help in the midst of the crisis or the uncertainties, it then presupposes that we should also initiate spiritual help ahead of the physical help. You don't wait till the crisis is deep and around you fully before you now try to seek spiritual help to be manifested in the physical, because there's a time lapse. As to that time lapse, is only, I mean, the factors, there are factors that will determine how long it can be or how short it can be and all. But we have a role to play in as much as, so we don't have to sit and wait till we get to the crisis point before we now remember to call on God, who we can reach through the spiritual channels of communication, through prayer, holding on to our faith, which is a spiritual thing. If you read Luke, I'm sorry, I say Luke, come on, Hebrews 11, 1, because of time. So it's a spiritual thing. We need to now pay attention to holding on to God's promises, which are spiritual, the word of God, spirit, spiritual. So we should now pay attention to the spiritual side of things if we want it to manifest for us in the physical. And I believe, God willing, next week I'll be continuing and I'll go deeper into it. Because the unbelievers, they will just lament, look at the news and what is happening and just complain and all. But we believers should know what to do. You know, like the children of Issachar, who and what Israel ought to do. We should also know what to do. And one of the things we have to do is seeking spiritual help ahead of time. Tapping into the spiritual realm, into God's provision. You don't wait till later before you now call on God. Now is the time to start building your faith to that level. You start build, your faith doesn't that build up overnight, then suddenly. It's a process. You build, you work on it. So now is the time to start putting in the spiritual measures to ensure that we are growing to the point where we can benefit from the spiritual realm, which will manifest in the physical realm in our lives, in our families, and whatever. So let's start doing the basics. Let's start. That's why earlier I was saying, let's get back into the word of God, the promises of God. You take the promise of God. What does the word of God say? Now, how do you contextualize in your life? How do you apply it in your life? Do you believe it? Yes. Now, how do you benefit from it? I believe God will, next week, we'll get deeper. I'm Eben, and I believe you've been blessed in this short 1 hour. And we've talked a lot, the news and, you know, all that's happening in the news, the world. But most importantly, ourselves, our lives. How are we managing things from the spiritual side of things? God willing, next week I'll continue. This is recorded and it will be put on spiritissues.info in the Telegram group to our uploaded the spirit issues. So good night and God bless you.
Joy and in pain, your cry for mercy.